This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Breast cancer is the second leading cause of cancer death in women, exceeded only by lung cancer. And about 1 in 8 women in the U.S., that's roughly 12%, will develop invasive breast cancer during their lifetime. But the death rate has dropped from breast cancer, and the good news is that currently there are more than 2.8 million breast cancer survivors in the United States. Well, here with us to share her personal journey is breast cancer survivor and author Shelley Straub. Welcome, Shelley.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming in. So you're a breast cancer survivor, and you've written a book about your journey and with an interesting title, A Tale of Two Boobies, 1 Year with Cancer. Tell us about your experience. When were you diagnosed with breast cancer?
I was diagnosed in October of 2013. And my whole journey really started and ended in 1 year.
Really?
So, I mean, I'm considered a survivor now, but all the treatment process itself was actually 1 year. So that's why I felt 1 year with cancer was appropriate for the cover.
Is that kind of a typical story, or do people go on longer generally with breast cancer in terms of treatment protocol?
Well, in people that I've met and others, you know, they try to move the treatment process quickly. You know, they say, oh, you've got cancer, let's take care of it quickly. So I find that most who have been through it go through the same experience. So it does happen usually in 1 year.
So how is it that you determined? I mean, tell us about the story. How did you discover it? What led you, you know, to suspect it was cancer, and what did you do?
Well, it's a funny story, actually. I guess I rolled over once and it hurt a little bit. And I thought to myself, well, you know, it hurts on the inside as I rolled over while I was sleeping. So there's no way it could be cancer because, you know, I've heard that if it hurts, it's not cancer. It's just some benign, you know, cyst or something in there. So obviously I went and had it checked after some prompts from my mother, who was really concerned. And I found out, obviously that same day I found out I had breast cancer, the same day I went in for the mammogram and the ultrasound, they pushed it through pretty quickly. But the funny thing is, after I found out I had it, I already knew I had the symptoms, but I didn't know they were there. So in my case, I had what's called a dimpling of the breast, where it kind of pulls itself in, and it had been there for maybe 6 months to a year. But I had thought, well, I've had two kids, and I breastfed them, so you know, I'm coming on 40 years old. Maybe this is just part of the aging process. And it looked funny, and it was supposed to be that way, because this is the side that, you know, the kids like to breastfeed off most. So that's why it did this funny-looking thing. But had I known about this dimpling before, maybe I would have gone in sooner. But I really thought it was...
You thought it was just
a natural
part.
Yeah, I thought I was getting old.
Of what you experienced. So the diagnosis was made, and then what happened?
As soon as the diagnosis was made, it was a rush, rush, rush from that point on. You know, the doctors, you know, the whole team of doctors, you know, called every day, and they said, okay, here's your surgery, and then after surgery, we're going to, you know, you're going to have chemo, and then after chemo, you're going to have radiation, but it was all dependent upon the surgery, you know, and everybody who called me right away as soon as they found out, this is in, you know, within 2 weeks, they instantly said, you know, what's the stage? What stage is it? You know, that's the first thing people want to know, but the truth is you can't find out what stage is it until after your surgery. They have to go in and find out, you know, how big it is, if it traveled, all those kind of things, so...
So what did they find out when they did the surgery?
So I was diagnosed at the end of October, and by December 9th, I had my surgery. And at that point, they found out that it did travel, went into some lymph nodes. So I had 24 lymph nodes taken out of that you know, side of my breast, along with both breasts taken off during surgery that day.
Why did you choose to do, I mean, I read somewhere that your breast cancer was really only discovered unilaterally in one breast, but you made a decision to do a double mastectomy. What was your thinking there?
The chances of it traveling, if it traveled into my lymph nodes already, the chances of it traveling to the other breasts are pretty great, so I didn't want to go through it twice. And then they did find some cysts in the other breasts, and because there were already some tumor signs in the other breasts,
It seemed like the right thing to do
because I just didn't want to do it again.
Was there a history of breast cancer in your family?
None. I'm the first person to get breast cancer. My grandmother had colon cancer, but other than that, there's no cancer in my family at all. So it was quite a shocker for my family.
I would think so, yeah.
My grandmother passed quite a few years ago, so.
So what was the prognosis based on what they found, what they did? What did they
tell? The end result was stage 2B breast cancer. So it was an invasive cancer that had traveled, and because it was the two with a B, you know, you can get stage 2A or 2B. Because it was with the B, there was, now it became, you know, hurry up and you need this much, you know, 4 months of chemo and 6 weeks of radiation, and then we'll do the 10 years of tamoxifen after that.
Oh, so that you're still on some treatment protocol?
No, I decided not to take the tamoxifen.
Okay, and what led to that?
Interestingly enough, if somebody is going through breast cancer or has breast cancer or knows about breast cancer or has somebody who's been through breast cancer, excuse me, and reads my book, they're going to wonder why that's the only topic I don't discuss, because I don't want to persuade anyone not to take the drug, because there are people who need to take the drug. But truthfully, I took it for 34 days and all my hair started falling out again, eyelashes, eyebrows. And I know it's a silly reason to not take a drug, but personally for me, I can't do it. I couldn't watch myself fall apart all over again and have it be this way for 10 years. I would honestly rather live, you know, the next 5 years happy and healthy and feeling like myself, and I can't feel like myself if I don't look like myself, than, you know, live the next 20 years it's like somebody else.
Did you make the decision against medical advice at this point?
I did, and they keep calling me and convincing me otherwise, and every 3 weeks, you know, they'll call me again and they'll write me a little, you know, I have the Upstate, you know, email system thing that I'm on, and they keep pushing. So yeah, definitely against medical advice. Every one of them said that they would rather see me take this drug than had done the chemo.
I see.
You know, they do the percentage rates and everything.
So overall, what was your experience of the treatment?
I would say it was 1 year of hell. That would definitely be.
Why?
It was difficult. It was very hard to get through. Everything in my life changed, and it isn't just when I first got diagnosed, everybody said, wow, are you going to lose your hair? That was the big focus. And I, you know, back then, you know, I was just, let's get in, let's get rid of it, let's take care of the problem quickly, whatever we have to do. Who cares if I'm going to lose my hair? Everything's temporary. I can, you know, sure, I might lose my hair, but it's only for a few months. It'll come back, and, you know. But then when you go through the process, as soon as all of the treatment is over, you just want to be yourself again. You're like, wow, I got through it. I'm done. But everything changes, and it's not what you thought it was going to be a year ago. So a year ago...
How did it change?
I feel like I was stronger before I started the process, and now I've become... You know, everybody says, oh, I'm stronger because I had cancer, and I've grown, and I'm wiser, and, you know, life changes, and I just don't share that feeling.
Why not?
I feel weak. I feel insecure. I feel not like myself. I was, you know, I felt like I could do anything or be anybody a year ago, but now I feel broken and weak, and I think it just might take some time to get back to myself again, but...
How long ago was it that your cancer treatment stopped? I mean, how much time are we talking about?
In May, I finished chemo, and then in August, I finished radiation.
So it's only several months, really, at this point.
Yeah.
6 or 8 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you still have a lot of repairing to do, I would think, psychologically.
Yeah.
Because I think it's got to have been a real shock.
It was.
And then the hardship of going through the treatment as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have two children, you said?
I do. Two girls.
And how did they do with your going through the treatments and all?
Well, the funny thing is my younger daughter, she doesn't typically show any emotion. And then my older daughter is more emotional, but it became the opposite during, you know, cancer. They were both really strong for me, you know, but there's a twofold situation in there, because when they're really strong, I feel like, well, maybe they don't care. But then I don't want them to be upset about it, or I don't want them to, you know, and I talked a little bit about this in the book too, where I said, the girls, you have to be honest about how you feel. You can't tell everybody, I'm fine, don't worry about me. You know, as you're going through chemo and you're on your weakest days and you just don't feel good and your stomach is a wreck, you can't let them walk in the door and see you fine. You know, get up and do the dishes and pretend like everything is fine, because then on the days they need you, but you can't be there for them, they're going to be, you know, asking you, why can't you come? You're fine. There's nothing wrong with you. When truthfully there is. So
your message is honesty.
Honesty is always the best policy. I mean, I don't play the game of I'm too sick all the time. People get sick of hearing it, but you really do need to be honest, because in the end it'll hurt you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with breast cancer survivor and author Shelley Straub. We're talking about her personal journey with breast cancer. So why did you write a book?
I really wanted, honestly, for me to remember my story first and foremost, because I still look back when I see pictures of myself 6 months ago, 8 months ago, and it feels surreal. Like, I can't believe that really happened. You know, and all through the cancer process, I would text my mom and my family and say, do I really have cancer? Is this really happening? Because it just doesn't feel like it could really be happening. So I wanted my story written on pages that I could hold and feel and touch and read in 10 years. And I want my kids to be able to read it. And if anybody gets it in the future, in my family, I want them to know what I had, what I went through. But secondly, I wanted everybody else to know what happens when you have cancer. Because everyone thinks, if you don't know cancer, if you don't have it in your family, they think, oh, you have cancer, I'm so sorry, and they quickly bring you over a dinner. You know, they make you a dinner, put it in there, and then they walk away after that. But they don't realize that this process goes on for a long time, and for me it was for a whole year. So at first, there was a whole bunch of people that were right there, and I've done the same thing. My grandmother had cancer, and I stopped over when I first heard she had cancer, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm here for you, is there anything I can do? But then I walked away, and then I forgot about it. And my grandfather was left to take care of her for a whole year, but I should have been there. So for others who want to know what it's like, you know, so they have the chance to be there too.
So you ended up self-publishing the book. Was it largely because you wanted others to really have the opportunity to share in your story? What do you hope people take away from it?
Well, I hope that they understand that cancer isn't just, oh, you have cancer, and then someone dies. I hope that they realize it is a process, there are treatments involved, and you can be there for people who have cancer in some capacity if you want, if you should choose, and that not everybody dies. You know, this is a game of survival now. It's not a game of, oh, you have cancer, you're going to die. You don't have to whisper when you hear cancer anymore. You can talk about it freely, openly. It's not a secret.
But it also sounds like there was another message in there, and that idea of people maybe needing to understand that there's an ongoing need, that it isn't just at the event. And then, I mean, granted, people have their own lives and their own burdens to carry, so they get caught up in their own lives. But there's a message here, I guess, about ongoing support.
Well, I have my own shame and guilt over people who had cancer, or I found out that they had cancer, and I would instantly be there for them, wanting to help, wanting to know, you know, wanting them to know that I care and I love them, and if there's something I can do, I'll be there. But then, as time went on, I wasn't there anymore, and now I feel bad. I don't want people to be in the same position I was.
Now, you have a parental advisory on your cover. Why is that?
Because there are graphic pictures of everything I went through, and it was important for me to put that in the book because that's the truth. This is my story. And when I first got started, I didn't know what I was going to look like, and I wish I had known. So for others who might be going through the journey or want to know, this is exactly what is going to happen to you.
And you're donating the proceeds to charity, which I think is really quite significant. What do you, in this overall sense, what is the central message in your book and in terms of your own experience of breast cancer? I mean, what would you say to somebody right now who is just newly diagnosed with breast cancer?
I would definitely tell them to Google everything you could possibly find out, even though all the doctors will tell you not to. Everything you can find out, the more information you have, the more information you find, good or bad, the better you are able to ask the questions that are necessary to ask the doctors when you first learn you're diagnosed, because they pushed you through the process so fast, understandably, because they want to just take care of it and get rid of it. But it's important for people in my position to know right up front everything there is to know, good and bad, everything, so that they can ask the right questions.
Did you feel like you were allowed to be a participant in the team in terms of your care?
I was. And everything was my decision solely, and they made that very clear. You know, they would give me the options and tell me my you know, tell me to make the decision. But if I, had I known more, I might have made some different choices.
Well, it sounds like you have made some significant choices, even in the choice not to do the tamoxifen, which is clearly your own personal choice. But it's also a very inspiring story. And the fact that you're willing to share it and so graphically share it, I think, is very, very hopeful for people.
Well, thank
and
you.
And it's a gift that you've given in this book. So the book is available on Amazon, and I want to thank you so much for coming in and telling us about your experience. My guest has been breast cancer survivor and author Shelley Straub. Her book is called A Tale of Two Boobies, 1 Year with Cancer. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.